Amen. Thank you, Ed. What a blessing. Good song. Praise the Lord for the blood. Well, it's been exciting to get to know Brother Brian, and we got to spend some time today and found out we're both the same age and probably would have gotten along pretty well as teenagers, would have gotten in a lot of trouble. But similar stories, and it's just been a blessing. It was good this morning. Brother Brian, of course, has been a pastor for 35 years, and most recently at the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Grand Rapids. And now he's in full-time evangelism and certainly needs our prayers. And we're looking forward to having him back again sometime. But tonight, I want you to listen carefully and let God speak to your heart. Brother Brian, you come.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And I appreciate being here tonight. What a joy. I have had a good time being here. I've enjoyed being around you, Pastor. Like I said this morning, I didn't recognize him. He's lost so much weight, and I recognize. But don't worry. She's got, his wife has got me on the drops. Amen. All right. And I'm starting tomorrow. Okay, all right, but since you make deals with your pastor, I'm going to make a deal with your pastor, all right, okay, all right, Pastor, when I lose 50 pounds, okay, off this stuff, you got to buy me a new suit when I come back, amen, amen, I think that's a deal, amen, that's a deal. Of course, he said he's got suits I can wear, amen, and I was thinking while he was talking about with the girls making a deal with him on the volleyball. I thought, well, maybe I can make a deal with him, amen. And I had a good time today spending with your pastor. And boy, I love your preacher. I love your preacher. What a great spirit about him. He's fun to be around. Did y'all notice that? Amen. He's just fun to be around, and had a good time talking today, and what a blessed time we had together at lunch today and just spend some time together. That's pretty bad when they take you out to eat and then try to sell you these drops. Amen. But we had a good time talking today, and of course sharing things about my wife and all that. I was we just had a good time talking about the ministry and how good God's been and how God's blessed, and I've enjoyed meeting all you folks. Boy, I'm telling you, I found some southern folks drifting around in this crowd. Amen. I found some southern people around here, my folks in my church always said, "Preacher, don't you know the war is over?" You know, and I said, "That's what you say, amen. That's not what we say, amen." And down south, I've had a good time today. You got a great church here. This is a great church. I've been traveling around and meeting pastor and churches, but this is a great church, and a lot of people in here that love the Lord and love God, and I'm excited about your church. God doing more, amen. God doing more in your church, and I'm looking forward to seeing the things that God is going to do in your church, and I'm gonna be praying. I started a preacher's prayer list years ago, and when I was at Forest Hills, Brother Hiles came he always come every year, preached on Monday and Tuesday night at our church, and he got up and he said, "How many of you?" And there's like 2,500 seats and all the people, and it was packed in the auditorium. He said, "How many of you love America?" And he said, "If you love America, stand up." Well, the whole church stood up, you know. And then all of a sudden he said, "How many of you have a preacher's prayer list?" And the whole church sat down. Brother Howell said, "I thought you loved America." And boy, it smoked me that night. I started, as a young boy in college, I started a preacher's prayer list. And the last time I counted, I've got over 800 preachers on that list that I pray for every week, once a week. And preacher, you're on that list now. I pray for you. You know, when and I put it on there when I made contact with you on the phone. I immediately put your name on that list, and I now pray for you every week. And I pray that God would give you great wisdom. And now, you know, seeing what's here, you know, I pray more that God will do even greater things with your preacher here. Amen. And his precious wife, boy, what a blessing. She's got a heavy burden on her heart tonight, and I'm praying for Tyler. I already prayed for him. I'll be praying for him during the night and early in the morning that God will do something there in her nephew's, I believe, life tomorrow morning. So, you know, if we don't have each other to pray for, we're in trouble, amen? And if we don't pray for each other, we're in trouble. And so it's important there. I tell you, all kinds of things always happen to me when I preach. And I'm a country boy, and if you didn't know that by now, amen, I'm just what you see is what you get, amen? And I'm just plain and preacher, but I just never know what's going to happen. Amen. In my younger years, I preached one night. I was preaching at a church in North Carolina there, and I had just ate a big meal before I preach. And I learned that you don't do that now. Amen. And so I was preaching, and I got right at the climax of my message, and I went to let out a big yell right in my message, but it was not a yell, amen, amen. It was a burp, amen, a belch, amen. And it was not a little one, amen. It was not a, it was a, you know, it came out big. And well, what do you do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're looking at you. I'm looking at them like, this really didn't happen, did it? Amen. And, well, they didn't know whether to laugh, you know, or act like it didn't happen. And so I looked at, you know, my wife, you know, such a great wife. Pastor's wives are so supportive, amen, and especially during times like this. Well, she just busted out laughing, amen. And so when she busted out laughing, the whole congregation took off laughing, you know. And so I'm standing there while they're all laughing at me, you know. And so finally I looked at the pastor on the front row. He'd been preaching for years, you know. And I thought, well, maybe I can get out of it this way. So I looked at the preacher and I said, have you ever had that happen? He said, no. It made it worse, amen. You just never know what's going to happen, amen. And matter of fact, I'm preaching at that church in December. I'll be preaching there again. The last time I preached there, he told me when I called, he said, I'm a little nervous to have you back, amen. So he told me, he said, the last time I was there, it was like a midnight service, you know, like a midnight service, and where you preach a while, and then you sing a while, and then you pray a while, and then you go back and preach a while until midnight, and you go into midnight, and they have refreshments and things like that. So there was an old man there. He was saved under J. Harold Smith. He got saved under J. Harold Smith. And so he got up and gave a testimony how, you know, his wife was in heaven now, and he looked so forward to going to heaven. He was ready to go home, you know, to heaven. After that, we took a little break, and we're standing there, pastor and I are standing, and that old man, you know, came up to me, and he said he was crying a little bit, you know. He said, I want to go home, you know, I want to go home. And he said, I said, well, brother, I know you do, but I said, let me pray for you. I said, I'll just pray for you right now. And I do that a lot of times. I see people are, you know, got problems, I lay my hand on and pray over them. So I laid my hand over and prayed on this old man. I said, God, I said, I just pray you take him on home right now. He misses his wife in heaven. She's in heaven. And I said, Lord, just take him on. He's ready to go. He's lived a full life. He said, no, 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 no. He said, no, I'm ready to go back to the nursing home. Amen. I thought he wanted to go to home to heaven. Amen. I was and pastor said, man, you're killing my church members. Amen. So I didn't know. Amen. So pastor, if you want me to get rid of some of your members, I'll take care of it. Amen. But we just all kinds of things happen, you know, and in the ministry and all the years and what a blessing. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles tonight. And by the way, if you did not get the message, we're not in here. Who was not in here this morning? Oh my goodness, a lot of folks was not in. You were not in here, right? Okay, all right. A lot of people were not here this morning. I want you to get the CD. If you have CDs, Pastor, of this morning, I encourage you to get it. Of course, it talks about my dear wife. I talked about all that we went through in our life the last 2.5 years. It's an unbelievable journey, If you didn't get it, then I can't preach the whole message. I could preach the message again, but I want to go another direction tonight. But, of course, my wife's in heaven. She went home October 29th at 12 minutes after 10 in the morning. My wife went home to be with the Lord and with bone cancer, multiple myeloma bone cancer. And what a journey we went through. But praise the Lord, 177 people got saved at University of Michigan Hospital, and many people come to know Christ as their Savior. And it was just an unbelievable thing. And God is still using it. Amen. God is still using it. I told my wife a few weeks before she died, I said, honey, you may go to heaven, you may die and go to heaven, but I promise you, you'll still live on this earth. Your name will go on, and I will preach everywhere and share what God did through you and us during this time. And so that's why God has called me into evangelism, to go across a hurting nation, hurting churches. Churches are full of hurting people. But I can be a witness to tell you that you can still live for God when things are not going right. Amen. You can still live for God and keep going on for God. Take your Bibles tonight, and we'll go to Luke chapter 8. And let's stand out of respect to the Word of God tonight. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Stretch your legs a little bit. And Luke chapter 8, verse 40. You heard about the fella, while you turn in there, you heard about the fella that kicked a genie lamp. And a genie came out, and he said, you got one wish. And he said, what's your wish? And he said, well, you know, I've always wanted to take my wife to Hawaii. He said, but if I take her to Hawaii, I got to fly. And he said, I am so frightened of flying. He said, I promise you, I go hysterical if I get on an airplane. He said, and I get seasick if I get on a boat and try to go over on a boat. And he said, so I think, he said, what do you say if you build a road from the coast to Hawaii and my wife and I could just drive there? And the genie said, you know, he said, come on. He said, do you realize how deep the ocean is? He said, I'd have to get footings down there and pour concrete, get all that. And he said, you know, I could do it, but that's just, isn't there something easier you could come up with? So he thought a minute, and he said, well, you know, he said, my wife and I have a lot of disagreements. We married a long time, and he said, we have a lot of disagreements. And if I could understand a woman, then we might have more peace at home and get along better. The genie said, do you want a 2-lane highway or a 4-lane highway? Amen. And so it would be easier to put the road in. Amen. And oh, some of you men are brave and said amen. Amen. Some of you are shutting up. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Bible says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I want you to notice that, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went to the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, and came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody have touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Father, I come to you tonight. I thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, I'm so glad that within my hands that you have allowed me to have the word of God. And I pray that God, that tonight that you would speak to every heart and everyone that sits here tonight. I can't make them listen. I can't force them to listen. I can't be the oratorical preacher that some preachers are to hold their attention. So Holy Spirit of God, would you do it for me? And would you open every ear and every heart and every mind, and that every child would sit at attention and teenager would sit up straight and listen tonight? Because, Lord, I didn't come here to be a burden tonight. I come here to be a blessing, Lord. And I pray that you'd fill me with the power of God. I pray that, Lord, that you'd use me now. And, Lord, I need thee. Oh, God, I need you so desperately. Lord, fill me and use me now. And I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would come to you tonight. I pray that, Lord, if there's a cold-hearted Christian, that the fires of God would fire up in their heart tonight to bring more people to you. Thank you for what you're going to do now, Lord. And I promise you, before the midnight hour, whatever's done in this room, this preacher will fall on his knees and give God the glory. Lord, thank you now in your blessed, holy, precious, wonderful, majestic name tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Hey, there you go. All right. Okay. He just woke up. Amen. I want to say this, that I shared this morning about my wife and her situation with cancer, but I'm going to tell just a little story as to start off the message tonight. One morning, of course, I get up every morning early. I'm an early riser, and I like to get up early and read my Bible and pray and spend time with God before the rush of the day. Amen. And so I'd gotten up and had my Bible reading, my prayer time, and stepped out in the yard a little bit. And I came in the front door. And when I walked in the door that morning around, I'd say about 8:30, somewhere in there, my wife was sitting in her chair. And as I looked and saw her sitting in her chair, she didn't know I'd come in the front door there. And all of a sudden, I saw her sitting there, and I was from the behind, and she was reaching like this. She was reaching. I saw her doing like this. She kept doing like this. Well, I thought maybe she, you know, because I've seen her do that before when she's hallucinating because of the medication. Sometimes they didn't get the medication adjusted right, and she would hallucinate sometimes. But this particular morning, she was sitting there, and she was reaching up like that. Well, I just kept watching her, you know, from behind. And finally, I just kind of slipped around a little bit to look at her face. And when I got around there, I looked, and her cheeks were soaked with tears. And then I looked in her lap, and there was her old tattered Bible. Matter of fact, her Bible is just completely tore to shred where she has read it, marked it, and done so much with the Bible that, matter of fact, I'm getting it bound for my daughter and going to give it to her. And it's just marked where my wife has just marked so many verses in that Bible. And so she's sitting there, and she had been reading her Bible. And finally, I looked and saw all the tears, and I came on around, and I said, "Honey," I said, are you okay? Is everything okay?" And she looked at me, and she said, "Well, I was just reading my Bible this morning," and she said, "I read this scripture here that we just read about the woman that touched Jesus." And she said, And I got to thinking that, you know, picturing this woman touching Jesus, and he was there physically where she could get to him. And so I got to thinking, how can I touch Jesus? How can I touch him? And, you know, she said, if he was here, God knows my heart, that I would touch him. Amen. I would reach out and touch Jesus. And she said, so I was literally trying to touch Jesus, and I just wanted to feel him. I just wanted to, you know, touch him a little bit. And then she began to weep and cry. And she looked at me and she said, "Craig, how can I touch him? How can I touch him?" You know, she said, "I want to touch him. I desire to touch him." And I could see the hunger in her eyes and her heart to touch Jesus. And when I saw that, I began to weep, and I just broke away from her, and I went back to my room, and I began to weep, and I said, "God, you know, how can I touch Jesus? Why shouldn't I want to feel that way? Why shouldn't I want to touch him that bad?" Amen. This was a woman that had a desire to touch Jesus, and she was hungry to touch him. And as I went back to my room and I began to weep, I laid on the floor in the bedroom and I began to weep, and I said, "God, could you please help me to want to touch Jesus?" Amen. Could you show me how I can touch Jesus? And so what I did is I took a piece of paper off the counter there of the dresser, or off the dresser, and I got my pen and I wrote through the Holy Ghost. I mean, God began to touch my heart and illuminate my mind what I should write down. And I wrote down these four points on that piece of paper, and I want to bring those points to you tonight. How can I touch Jesus? How can I touch Jesus? I believe tonight that every one of us should have a desire to touch Jesus tonight. Everybody should be hungry tonight to touch Jesus. And so
I began to think, how can I touch you, Lord? How can I have that hunger and that desire? What can I do to get your attention? You see, this lady wanted to get God's attention. Can I have amen? This lady wanted to get God's attention. It ought to be every Christian's desire to get God's attention. I don't know about you tonight, but I needed God's attention. The last 2.5 years, I've tried my best to get God's attention. You see, this crowd, the Bible says, this crowd was sitting around waiting. But there was one lady that didn't sit around and wait. She did something to get to Jesus, I'm afraid our churches today are full of people that are just waiting for something to happen. God doesn't want some waiters. God wants some goers. Amen. God wants some Christians that are willing to push through. Amen. To get through to Jesus. To press through to Jesus. And so we see that tonight that we see that there's four things that I see in this scripture. The first thing that I want to give you tonight that I jotted down that day is, first of all, how do we get to Jesus? By coming to him in faith. In faith. You know, this lady had a lot of faith tonight. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what? You know what? We might as well take off the coins of America in God we trust. Because I know we say, no, let's don't take it off. Well, it's better to live it than just have it. Can I have amen? A lot of Christians know that slogan or that saying, but don't practice it. The Bible says, and we should have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. God wants everybody to have faith in him. Now, you want me to tell you how you get God's attention? Believe in him. Can I have amen? Give me just a little bit of volume. I'll tone it down myself, but give me a little bit more volume. I'll tone it down a little bit myself. I'm straining on my throat here. Let me say this, how do you have faith in God? How do you have faith in God? Well, you know what? God wants you to just trust him. Have faith in him. You know, God puts situations in your life so that you can trust him. Can I have amen? You know, how do you do it? You take that step of faith. You believe God. When I decided to go in evangelism, I had a paycheck every week as a pastor. We had our doctors. We had everything set. We had all that. And by faith, God showed me what he wanted me to do. And by faith, I gave it all up, and God took care of us. Amen. God is taking care of it. God wants you to take that act of faith. Years ago, I decided I was going to Lord told me to go to Athens, Georgia. This has been years ago, to start a church. I had my wife and I and four little children. All I had was a station wagon that the muffler had fallen off of. It sounded like a logging truck going down the road. I'm not kidding. When I'd go down the road, that thing, bah, 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 it was blowing smoke and spraying mosquitoes and everything. Amen. And boy, the environmentalists would have thrown me in jail. Amen. But I remember I packed everything I had. We, by faith, we went and we started a church. We got there on a Friday night, no job, no place to live. We had $200 when I left, and I was down to about 50 when I got there. And I pulled into Athens, Georgia about 11 o'clock that night. Didn't know where I was going to live. We pulled in right in the city limit, and there was a trailer park on the right. And I pulled up in there. I saw this house, and I thought that must be the office right in the center, you know, of the trailer park. I walked up there and knocked on the door, and a little short lady looked like a bulldog. She looked like a little Georgia bulldog. She had short hair. She had shorts on. And she was a little round thing, looked like a little round bulldog. And she said, "Yes, can I help you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "My name's Pastor Brian." I said, "I'm coming here." I said, "There's my kids. And the look, you see these eyeballs looking out the window. It was, the car was packed full of all our stuff. And there's my wife sitting there." And I said, "We come here to start a church. And God told me to come here and start a church. Now, I don't have a job. I don't have a place I'm going to live." And I said, "But we come here by faith, and we believe God's going to take care of us." That's what I told her. She looked at me. I remember that little lady looked at me. She looked out at my kids. She walked past me, looked out there. There's my kids. I mean, they're looking out the window, you know. I remember them waving at her, you know. And she waved at them and stuff. And they came back and she looked at me. Then she went back and she didn't say anything. She just looked back at the car. She came back, looked at me. She said, "Listen." She said, "I've got a place right above my house here that I had for my mom and dad. It's a beautiful apartment." And she said, "I've been praying that God would send somebody that would live there that loved the Lord." And she said, "You know what? Anybody as stupid as you are needs help." Amen. That's what she said. She said, "You need help." Amen. And so that night we moved into that apartment by faith, and God, she even opened her refrigerator and told the kids, "Go get anything you want." That was a mistake. Amen. Amen. And they just cleaned the refrigerator out, but God took care. That night she said, "Let me ask you a question. Do you have a CDL license?" I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I have a tandem truck business. I run about 15 trucks." And she said, "Have you ever driven a tandem truck?" I said, "I've driven concrete trucks before. I worked and I've driven concrete trucks and all that." I said, "I believe I can drive one of them tandem trucks." She said, "You're hired. You start Monday." Friday night. Now, Friday night, I had a place to live, had a job starting Monday morning, and God provided. Amen. God provided. Now, let me tell you something. God, it pleases God when you live by faith. Amen. When you live by faith, God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to believe Him. And it pleases God when you live by faith. I remember we put our kids in a Christian school. We put our kids in a Christian school, and we didn't know where they had to have new clothes and all that. They didn't have anything. I mean, they needed new clothes, new shoes, everything. One day, my wife and I, we would sit at the table with the kids, and said, "Now let's pray, kids. Let's pray, and that God will provide the money that we or that you can get some new clothes and all that." The next morning, a knock came on the door, and it was a UPS guy. And he said, "I have a box for you, and it's a big box." We went out there. He had it on the porch. It was a great big old box on there. We opened the box. We got the box inside, opened the box. And my sister-in-law worked up here for a doctor in Chicago area. They had brand new clothes with the tags still on them, brand new shoes, brand new underwear. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about underoos. Amen. Amen. And I mean, buddy, my kids, and I'm not kidding, they were so proud of them new underwear, they went all over the neighborhood showing people their new underwear. They were so excited. Now, I know some of you are too spiritual to say it, but I'm going to tell you something. Boy, when you get excited, when God gives you things, you get excited about it. Amen? You get excited about what God can do. And the kids were excited. We were excited. And the kids had all new clothes, all new stuff, and God provided. Amen? We saw God provide. Listen, why? Because it pleased God. It pleased God. Let me say, I remember when we got down low in food one time, and we didn't have much food, and we You know, I'm serious. We had a little bit of rice and some soup and stuff, and my wife made some kind of recipe that I wouldn't recommend, amen. And it was not the best recipe in the world, but I remember we got around the table, we prayed, we said, God, now thank you for this, and we lied, but we prayed, amen. And but we thank God for it, and then after you know, we spread it out just as then. My wife filled it full of water and stuff, and trying to thin it out. And then while we were sitting there eating, a knock came on the door. I went to the door, and a man was standing there. And said, "Listen," he said, "I know you're a pastor," and he said, "We're moving," and he said, "We've got all this meat in the freezer," and he said, "We're just wondering if you'd like to have all this food." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" Amen. And God, and listen, it wasn't just regular meat. I mean, this was hamburger, steak. It was all kinds of, chicken and everything. I mean, we had enough to eat on for a couple months. They had so much. They had one of those big deep freezers. And we filled our freezer so full, we went to our neighbors and they let us use their freezer to put all the meat in. Let me tell you why. But you know why God did that for us? It pleased him when we trust him. I'm saying that if you want to get God's attention, then you got to learn to trust God in faith. Number two, let me say this. How do you get God's attention? Number two, you must press through. I said, you must press through. Listen, folks, the Christian life is a pressing thing sometimes. I didn't say depressing. Can I have amen? I said a pressing thing. You've got to press on. I said, you got to press on. Paul said, I press towards the mark. Can I have amen? I'm going to tell you, the Christian life is a pressing thing. I mean, you got to live it when it hurts. You got to live it when you're wounded. You got to live it when you don't feel like living it. You got to smile when you don't feel like smiling. I'm going to get a smile out of you, amen, and before it's over, amen. Amen. You got to smile when you don't feel like it. You got to, there's times that I didn't feel like smiling at them doctors and them nurses, amen. I didn't feel like being happy around them, stuff like that. But I knew that to be the right kind of Christian, I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to go on and press through. When I played football, I played football. I played 9 years football. I love football. I love football. I tell you what, boy, did the Lions win today? Did they play today? Did anybody know? Is anybody spiritual enough to watch the Detroit Lions today? They were behind. Oh, don't tell him, amen. Hey, listen. I played football 9 years, and I never will forget. I learned a lot playing football. I did. I learned a lot that when you get knocked down, you got to get back up. Buddy, sometimes, and you got to play by the plan book. You got to do the play together. Can I have amen? You got to go together. You got to, it's teamwork. Come on. You can learn a lot in the Christian life by what, that's the way it is in the Christian life. And buddy, sometimes, buddy, you get smacked down hard. I remember when I was in high school, we played East Rowan High School, and this they had a running back named Rick Van Horry. I remember his name because he put an impression on me. Amen. He weighed 240 pounds. He was a running back. He was a running back. Solid rock. Solid rock. By the way, will those drops reduce muscle? No, they won't. Well, I won't lose anything then, amen. I just can't, amen. We played them that night. They run a play where the guard pulls. If those of you have played sport, there's something called a pulling guard. That's where the guy that's in front of you on the offense, you're blocking, he's blocking you, and you're trying to keep you from getting it. He just pulls out of the way. Well, you got an open hole. And you think I can run right in and get the quarterback. Well, when that hole opened, I thought, hey, I don't have anybody here. But what I didn't know, there's another guy coming. There's another guy, the end is pulling down. He's pulling down, and he pulled down, and he caught me off guard, hit my helmet, knocked my helmet up on my head. The helmet went up on my head. Then Rick Van Hoy, 240-pound running back, run right into me with his helmet, broke my nose. My nose was over here. My nose was here. My teeth were loose. Blood was gushing out. Oh, it was beautiful. Amen. But there was blood coming out. I dislocated this shoulder. This shoulder was hanging. It was just hanging. And I was in pain. Dislocation much more painful than a broken bone. And that's why Jesus, he didn't have broken bone, but his body was dislocated. And that was much, much more pain. And so I run to the sideline to the coach, and he was a drill sergeant in the Army. And I go to Coach Dill, and I said, Coach, I said, my nose is broke, and my blood was there, and teeth loose, and all this. And all of a sudden, you know, my arm's hanging. And I said, Coach, what am I going to do? And I'll never forget what he did. He put these two fingers up, and he said, how many fingers are up? I said, two. He said, you're all right. Get back in there. And the rest of the game, I played. Now, some of you mamas said, oh, no, that my poor little kid is being killed, you know, and everything. Hey, you know what? That's what's wrong with America today. Amen. We got too many wimps. Come on. We got too many wimps. And that's the reason why they can't make it in the Christian life, because it gets tough sometimes. But it gets tough sometimes. And the devil's going to sidewipe you. He's going to knock you flat on your back. He's going to hit your young people. But you got to say, get back up. Get back up and live for God. Get back up and do right. Amen. You come on. Hey, listen, I'm telling you that, America was built on toughness. America was built with young men strapped up and went to war to fight for America. Can I have amen? And what's happening is we got a bunch of Christians growing up today, and it's all handed to them on a silver platter. Can I have amen? That there's no willing that when they get hit hard, that they don't know how to get back up and finish the game. Come on, amen. We need more Christians like that. And that's what you got to do in the Christian life. That's the look here. You know why when I lost my wife, it knocked me hard. It hit me hard that I lost my wife. I've wept. I've sat in a room by myself and wept and gone down the road to another church and wept. But I'm going to tell you one thing, buddy. I'm going to press on, because you know why? I want to get God's attention. Amen. I'm trying to get through to God because I want God's blessing and God's power on my life. I hope you're enjoying this. We need Christians to press on again. Young people, listen to me. Don't give in to the world. Press on. Don't give in to, don't, you're not a strong person if you give in to the world. Press on. Press on for God. Live for God. Stand for what's right. I'm telling you that we need that kind of Christian life today. Let me say this. I got so much I could talk about that, but number three, let me say this, that not only should we press on, but you must, this lady had a humility about her. She fell and worshiped God. She fell and let his feet and worshiped him. I believe that everybody in this room needs to every day fall at the feet of Jesus and say, I want to touch you, Lord. I want to touch you, God. This morning about 4 o'clock, I woke up. I crawled out of that bed this morning and got up and got me some water and and freshen up a little bit. And I went over there and sit on that little couch thing they had. And I got my Bible and I knelt on my knees by that little couch. And I said, God, I want to touch you this morning. I need your attention, God. I need your attention, God. And let me tell you something. There was a lot of people that day waiting on Jesus. And don't you know a lot of people touched him? The Bible said they thronged Jesus. They were pressing him. But only one person got his attention. And I'm going to tell you, this morning when I got up, I said, God, I know there's a lot of people out in this universe that are trying to get through to you today. But God, I'd like to be the one to get your attention. I'd like to be the one, God, to get your attention. There's a man here that his heart is broken this morning that wants to know God and feel God and know that God is there and God is present in my life. Let me say number four and last of all, and boy, this is so important. If you want to touch Jesus tonight, you must touch others in order to touch Jesus. When that lady went to touch Jesus, she had to touch other people. She had to actually bump into other people to get to Jesus. Can I have amen? She had to bump into other people to get. Now think about this truth here, and I'm almost done. In order for you to get God's attention, by the way, is there anything out here tonight that you need God's attention about? Do you have some problems going on in your life that you need God's attention? Can I have amen? Well, let me tell you a good way to get God's attention. Are you ready? Touch others. You know what, Pastor? You know what's wrong with our churches today? They're out of touch with people. I said they're out of touch with people. I'm talking about the poor. I'm talking about the bus kid. I'm talking about the disabled. I'm talking about the nursing home. I'm talking about people that they're just completely out of touch. I'm talking about pastors today that got it all together. They got all the technology. They got it all together. But I'm going to tell you one thing. They're out of touch with people. One day when I was younger, I was with a pastor. This is years ago. I was assistant pastor. And we went to the hospital to visit a lady. She was 83 years old. 84 years old. And so we went to visit her, and she had cancer. So when we visited a little bit with her and talked to her and all that, well, the pastor said, now, we're going to pray with you, Miss So-and-so. And she looked at the pastor, and she said, Pastor, could you hold my hand while you pray? And all of a sudden, the pastor looked at her and said, well, ma'am, I don't believe in touching women. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I may have a lot of problems, but I don't have problem with lusting after an 84-year-old woman. Too many wrinkles. Excuse me, old folks, amen. You are a sick person if you can't hold her hand and pray with her. So I said, ma'am, I'll hold your hand. And I reached over and took that sweet old lady by the hand, took her by the hand and held her hand, and she began to cry. All she wanted is somebody to touch her. And can I tell you another thing? That lady got saved that day. But you know why? Because I touched her. I was going to preach in Milwaukee about a month and a half ago, and I was traveling alone, and I stopped at TA truck stop. And You'll have to forgive me. You're going to have to pray for me about these drops. Because I love Popeye's chicken. I love Popeye's spicy Popeye's chicken. I like it so spicy it'll kill anything that's in you shouldn't be in there. Amen. And so I was sitting there eating some of that good old Popeye's chicken and mashed potatoes and biscuits. And, man, I'm getting hungry. Let's go home. Amen. And I was sitting there eating that, and I had grease all over. You know, it ain't good unless you got it all over you and in your ears and up your nose and everything. And I was sitting there eating, and all of a sudden I looked over right across the table there. There was a lady and her husband and a teenage boy sitting there, and she had a scarf around her head. And she wasn't Muslim, but I could tell she had cancer. And all of a sudden, God touched my heart and said, "Won't you go over there and pray with her?" And well, I was enjoying my chicken, you know. So I said, "Okay, God." So I wiped, you know, cleaned up, and I went over there and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "look, I'm a preacher and I'm traveling to preach over in Milwaukee, and I was sitting there enjoying my chicken, and God told me to come over here and pray with you." I said, "My dear wife's dying with bone cancer." And I said, "I noticed you had cancer. By the way, I'm not glad she had cancer, but I'm glad she admitted she did, because that'd been bad, me saying you look like you got cancer and not have cancer. It's kind of like going to a pregnant woman and say, 'You look pregnant.' 'Well, I'm not pregnant.' 'Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to. I knew you wasn't. I was just kidding, amen." And so I told the lady, she said, "Yes, I've got breast cancer." I said, "I'm so sorry." I said, and I looked at the husband. I said, "I know what you're going through. It's tough, isn't it?" I put my arm around and hugged him. Tears welled up in his eyes. I said, "I know what you feel." I said, "Would you mind if I have a word of prayer with you?" And the lady said, "Please do." And I took her by the hand and took him by the hand, and we kind of made a little circle prayer right there in Popeye's chicken. And I prayed with them. Right in the middle, I stopped. I do this often. I stopped and I said, "I've got to ask you a question." I said, "If you died, ma'am, do you know for sure? If you died with this cancer, do you know where you're going?" She said, "You know what? I've been thinking about that." I looked at the man. I said, "Sir, do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven too?" He said, "I don't know, sir." I looked at that teenage boy. He looked like he was 14, 15 years old. I said, "Son, would you like to be saved too?" And he said, "Yes, I would." And I prayed the sinner's prayer with those three, and they all trusted Christ and got saved right there in Popeye's chicken. But you know what made the difference? Touch. You say, "Well, I don't think that's the way to..." That's why you're not seeing many people saved. When they know you care, when they know you care, they'll open their hearts to you, and they'll accept Christ as their Savior. I'm going to end with this. When I was preachers always say, "I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end with this." And when I was a bus captain at Forest Hills Baptist Church, I was out knocking doors one day. God bless you bus workers. Man, you bus workers are the Green Beret of this church. And God bless you climbing out on them buses on in the mornings and bringing these kids to church. That's why God blesses this church. That's why God blesses this church. And I sit there. I was working a bus route, and I went and knocked on the door, and I came to an old condemned house, had papers on the door, condemned. I knocked on the door, and this guy came to the door. It's right there in Atlanta, Georgia, where I was at. And a guy came to the door. Now, you got to stay with me on this one. This guy had plaid pants on, and he pulled those pants that were real big on him, and he had on a plaid shirt that didn't match the plaid pants. He had those pants pulled way up here. Now, I would show you, but mine won't go way up here. Amen. Something in the way. Amen. But he had those pants pulled way up there, had red Converse tennis shoes on. Big old red Converse. How many of you remember the red Converse tennis shoes? And he had those big red Converse tennis shoes on. So I said, "Hi, my name's Brother." And his hair looked like he combed it with a hand grenade. It was just blown up. That would be the style today. Amen. Or a pack of firecrackers would look like went off. And his hair was sticking everywhere, sticking up everywhere. And he had a little dirty face, you know, dirty and stuff, and he was a teenage boy. And I said, "Hi, my name's Brother Craig. I'm from Forest Hills Baptist Church, and I'm inviting people to church today. Would you like to ride my church?" And all of a sudden he said, "Well, my name's Willie." He said, "My name's Willie." And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Willie, would you like to go to church with me?" He said, you mean you let me go to church with you? I said, "Yeah, you can go to church with me." He said, but I can't go. I can't go to church. I said, "Willie, why can't you go to church with me?" He said, "Well, I went to see that church," and he went out on the porch and he pointed down the road. "Pastor, there's a big Baptist, or I think it was Wolver Baptist Church." He said, "See that church down there?" He said, "They won't let me in that church." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because they say I'm retarded. I'm retarded." I said, "Willie, let me tell you something. I'd be honored to have you come to my church." I said, "I'm going to be by tomorrow." He said, "Well," I said, "go ask your mama." He went running down the hallway. His legs were bouncing up, and he went running down and said, "Mama, mama, mama." He said, "Can I go to church tomorrow? I want to go to church tomorrow." And she said, "Yeah, you can go to church." He said, oh, boy, I get to go to church. Amen. Now, you look at him like he's crazy, but I wish some of you get that excited when you came to church this morning. Amen. And he was all excited. Well, then the next morning, I pulled the bus by there, and Willie didn't come out. I thought, "Oh, my goodness, why in the world didn't Willie come to church?" He said he was coming, and we knocked on the door. Nobody came. So I started pulling off, and all of a sudden the kids started hollering, wait a minute, Brother Craig, here he comes. Well, here come Willie jacking his legs up, running around the house and with that outfit on. So I stopped the bus, opened the door, and Willie stood on the ground. And I'm not kidding. I've never seen a kid jump like this. But he jumped to the tip top of the bus steps. And when he got on there, he went, "Whoa, ho, I'm Willie." Well, all the kids looked at him. And I looked at him. And I said, "Oh, okay, Willie. Okay, sit down. Said, okay, Butterquick. So he sat down on the front seat, and he bounced. He started bouncing. So while I'm driving down the road, I couldn't hardly see. I said, "Willie, don't bounce. I can't see out the window good when I turn my head." He said, "Okay, Butterquake, okay." A few minutes, turn around, there's Willie bouncing. And finally Willie said, "Butterquake," he said, "you know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "When I got up this morning, the devil was sitting on the edge of my bed." I said, "Oh, really?" I thought, you know, you heard of Twilight Zone, amen. I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Well, what did he say, Willie?" He said, "You're not going to church today." He said, "But I fooled that sucker. When he turned his head, I jumped out the window, amen." And that's why he was running around the house, amen. You know what? I laugh about that. But there's a lot of truth in that. When you got up this morning, guess who was sitting on the edge of your bed? You say it was the devil. Some of you say it was my wife. No. It's kind of like the fella. It's Kind of like the fella that went to a meeting and he heard about a preacher that got so mad at the devil, he pulled his cart over and told the devil, get out. Preacher was riding home. Boy, the devil was just giving him a fit. He said, well, I'm going to do the same thing. He pulled over, got out, slung the door open, said, get out, devil. I'm tired of you bothering me. Shut the door and drove home. His wife walked home 2 miles. Amen. Amen. That's not what he meant. Amen. Willie came to church that morning, went to church. After church, the bus captains had to get on the bus and wait on the kids as they come to the bus. I'm sitting there, and Forest Hills was a big church. It was a big city church. And all of a sudden, I saw these two little old ladies coming down the sidewalk. There was bushes on both sides of the sidewalk, and they're prancing along, you know, the little old ladies coming out of church. And one of them even had a fur on, like a little fur on. And she's so preppy and coming out of church. All of a sudden, I saw Willie coming, running down the sidewalk. He wasn't slowing down. And he bust right between them two old ladies, knocked one of them in the bushes. One of them in the bush. I said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill that kid. He knows better than that. He knows better knocking that little old lady in the bushes. And about the time when he got to the bus, I was ready to chew him out. And he stood on the ground, jumped to the tip top of those steps, and I was going to let him have. He goes, whoa, I got saved. I said, what? He said, whoa, I got saved. You know what? I forgot about the old lady in the bushes, amen. I was so excited he got saved, amen. And Willie was so excited. On the way home, he started bouncing again on the way home. And I said, and all of a sudden Willie said, Brother Quag, he said, can I get baptized? I said, what? He said, can I get baptized? I want to get baptized. I said, okay, Willie. And then, back then, we'd bring all our converts in Sunday night and baptize them off the bus routes. So I brought all my converts. I said, okay, we'll talk to your mom. So we went and talked to his mom. She said, that's fine. Well, what I'd do, I'd stop at McDonald's because we haven't eaten. So I'd buy the kids, some of them that were getting baptized, I'd buy them a hamburger and stuff. Well, we went, we ordered, you know, at the cashier at McDonald's. Willie standing there watching me. I reached in my pocket, pulled out a gospel tract, and gave it to the lady, just like I always do at the cashier. I gave her a gospel tract. And when I gave her that gospel tract, Willie was staring at me. So we go home. We go sit down and eat. And Willie wasn't eating. He was just staring at me. I said, Willie, what's wrong? He said, what did you give that lady? I said, well, I gave her a gospel tract. He said, I believe I can do that. He said, give me one. Give me one. Down south, we have what we call mamas. If you don't know what a mama is, it's a big black woman that weighed about 400 or 500 pounds. We used to call mamas down south. And there was a woman that was sitting over there. She, big black woman, weighed about 300-400 pounds. I mean, she was a whopper. She was a whopper. And that's in McDonald's, amen, a whopper. And she walks over. He takes that track and walks over to that woman and says, here, fatso, read this, amen. I could have died, amen. Right there. I thought, oh, no. I can see it on the front of Atlanta Journal. Amen. Retarded boy killed in McDonald's by a big black woman. Amen. I can see it. But she took that track. She took that track. Now, if I'd have done it, she'd have killed me. She'd have killed me. He never read that book by Dr. Howells on Let's Go Soul Winning, amen. And he never read that, amen. So he took that, she took that track, and Willie came over and sat down. In a few minutes, I saw that lady reading that track. And then a few minutes, I saw her bow her head and ask Christ to save her. You know, Willie came to church that night. He got baptized. He was so funny when he brought him into the water. They brought him into the water to baptize. It was big auditorium and full of people. I'm sitting in the middle, and Willie, when he got to the pool, he said, "Hey, Brother Craig! Hey, Brother Craig!" And he started waving at me out there, you know. And I said, hey, Willie, you know. But he got baptized. When he came out, he said, he came out, "Whoa, boy!" He said, "I got baptized." Amen. He was so excited about it. I took Willie home and that night, and the next Saturday morning, I came by to visit him like a bus captain does, and he said, "Brother Craig, I got something for you." And he handed me a piece of paper with a list of names on it with addresses. I said, "Willie, what is this?" He said, "These people got saved this week." I said, "What?" He said, "These people got saved this week." Well, I thought he was kidding. But there were addresses. There were names. He didn't know how to read. He didn't know how to write. And I said, "Well, okay, Willie." Well, the next Saturday, well, and what he'd do when he'd come to church, he'd clear out the track rack. He'd get all the tracks out, take them all, you know, take all the track rack. Pastor kept telling him, "Who's taking all these tracks?" And it was Willie clearing the racks and clearing the tracks. Well, the next week, same thing. He had a whole list of names. I said, "Willie, what are you doing?" He said, I'll show you. He said, "You come over Monday and meet me, and I'll show you what I'm doing." What he was doing, he was getting on the martyr train in Atlanta. It's a big train that goes all over Atlanta. And business people get on it, ride it. And we got on that train. We walked on. Willie got on. He gets free tickets because of his handicap. So we got in there. All of a sudden, I mean, full of business people, men with suits and briefcases and everything. I mean, and all of a sudden, the door shuts. And Willie stands up, and his hair's blown everywhere, and he's got these fast. And he said, "Folks," he said, "my name's Willie." And he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "Let me give you something right now." And he gave them all tracks. And he said, "I want to tell you that I went to church one day, and Brother Craig, he's sitting right here. Brother Craig, he brought me to church. Wave at him, Brother Craig." And I sit there and waved at him. And he said, "Brother Craig brought me to church, and he said, and I got saved. I got saved." And he said, "God changed my life, and I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a missionary." And he said, "I'm going to be a missionary." And he said, I got to tell you how Jesus saved me." And he said, "Now, I can't weed and I can't wipe very good. So mister," and he pointed at a businessman, "would you read that for us?" And he stand up right now. And that man would stand right up. That businessman stood right up. And he said, "Now read it." And he said, "The Bible said, for all have sinned." And that's when he said, "We're sinners, aren't we?" And everybody said, yeah. And he went right through the gospel. That man read the whole gospel tract and finally came down to the prayer. And Willie said, "Now, folks," he said, "listen, you don't want to go to hell when you die." He said, "God loves you just like he loved me." He said, "Now, you think I'm retarded. But," he said, "if you don't get saved, you retarded." And I'm sitting there going, "Now, sir, pray that prayer. Everybody, if you want to be saved," he said, "pray that prayer with him. Are you ready? Everybody ready?" That's why you do it. "Everybody ready?" And everybody go, yeah. And they would pray the prayer. I heard businessmen tears. I saw businessmen crying and receiving Christ as their Savior. They took that tract. They took, and then when he got done, he had his notepad and with the wires in. What do you call them? They tear them out. Said, "Now I want you to put your name and address in. Brother Craig's going to come get you." I want to tell you something. One Sunday night, preacher, we had over 30, I think it was 37, 39, I can't remember the count, people got baptized in one service that Willie led to Christ. What is your problem? What is your problem? You know what it is? We're out of touch. We're out of touch. I can't tell you enough how important it is to get God's attention. You want to get God's attention, church? You want God's attention right here in Adrian? There's still a lot of people out there. I rode around this town and prayed last night. I rode around and this morning, early this morning, I just rode around town and prayed, and I saw a bunch of houses and people that were not getting ready for church that need the Lord. And boy, I'm telling you what, if you want to get God's attention, you go out and reach you a Willie for Christ. You go out and reach you somebody for Christ and win somebody to the Lord. And I guarantee you, you're going to get God's attention. Don't you want to be that kind of church? Can I have amen? Don't you want to be that kind of church? Where you at tonight? Don't you? I don't know. Maybe you want to just be an average Christian. Maybe you just want to come to church and, you know, get your little Hail Marys in, amen, or amens in, or pray a few prayers. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to get God's attention. I want to get God's attention. That's the reason why I'm not retracking. I'm retreading for the journey that God's got for me to bring more people to Christ. I told the preacher today, I said, "Preacher, I have nothing to live for in this life now but God. My sweetheart's in heaven. My sweetheart's in heaven right now. And I know she's cheering for me. She's got a pretty cheerleading dress on right now. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon rind. Look at the scoreboard, see who's behind. Amen." I don't know if she's cheering. That sounded good, amen. But she's in heaven now. And I'm going to tell you what, when I come into heaven, I'm going to be running for God. I want to win everybody I can to Christ and church churches and say, keep on going for God. Keep on living for God. Keep on when the times are tough, when you get knocked down, get back up. Live for God. Don't ever turn back. You give your heart to God, and you let God use you wherever God wants to use you, and watch what God can do in your life and get God's attention. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight. I want to ask you tonight. No talking, please. If you're not sure if you died right now, you go to heaven. I wonder, a crowd this size, if there's somebody that might be here tonight that's not saved. You're not sure if you drop dead right now that you'd go to heaven. You're not 100%. Who would say right now, with every head bowed, nobody's staring, looking, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But who in this room right now say, "Preacher, you know what? Inside, I do not know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I do not know that. I'm not sure." God loves you. And God wants you to be saved. If you're not sure that you're saved tonight, and you're not 100% sure, with nobody looking, would you slip your hand up right now? "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Is there anyone at all? Just slip your hand up right now. Listen, you say, "Well, I'm scared what people think." I wouldn't worry much about what people think as much as what God thinks. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right now? I'm not sure that I'm saved." Come on. Come on. Is there anyone at all? "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved." Slip your hand up right now. Hold it up high enough so I can see it. Hold it up. It's the Holy Spirit right now knocking on your door saying, "You need to be saved. You 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 better listen. You better listen. You better listen. Or it could be too late." Would you slip your hand up? "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven." Would you slip your hand up? Is there anyone at all? Anyone at all? I want to give you a chance. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who would in here tonight say, "Preacher, I need God's attention. I've got some things going on in my life that I need God's attention. And I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get God's attention tonight." Would you slip your hand up? Oh, my. Oh, my. Hands everywhere. I want to ask you to do something tonight. If you mean business with God, you really mean business with God tonight, and you want to get God's attention tonight, I want you to come to this altar tonight. I want you to come right now.